Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Good evening. It's Elliot Kay here back in 2017 on Strategic Breakthrough Radio. I have taken an extended break because I have had a baby. That's right. I have personally squeezed out a baby. Not really. So welcome to Strategic Breakthrough Radio. But I have actually had a baby. My wife gave birth in November. And so I've taken an extended break till today. On Strategic Breakthrough Radio, as you know, we are here every 2 weeks to bring you the listener, the innovator, the entrepreneur, the business owner, the coach, the speaker, the trainer, the consultant, strategic tips and advice on how to move forward in your business. There's lots of shows out there that you should tune into that belong to Coach on Fire Radio, so do make sure you check them out. Some great hosts by Cordelia, by Sean, by Cindy Poe. You guys need to check them out if you haven't already. However, today is all about strategic breakthroughs. And as you know, I bring the best of the best in the industry. I'm happy to say, by the way, that my daughter is now 8 weeks old. Her name's Ariella. She's beautiful and she has one head of hair on her. So she's clearly my daughter, if there was any doubt. Today's guest. Now, here's the thing. You know, the event industry in the personal development world is an interesting industry. It's worth absolutely, and I'm not exaggerating, billions. You can make a lot of money in that industry. You can make very little money in the industry. You can struggle to fill events, or you could really, really fill events. I've been around the scene now since 2008. So this technically is my ninth. Is that my ninth? Can I do my maths? Yes, I'm 1 year away from 10 years being in the industry. I was a coach. I now run strategy. I strategically help business owners build their businesses. And I have run events since pretty much 2008, anything from 10 in the room to over 150 in the room. I've spoken to massive audiences. I've spoken to small audiences. I have over 6,000 hours of stage time. And here's the thing, the interesting thing about the industry. There's a lot of sharks out there. There's a lot of good people out there. And today's guest, he is a young entrepreneur who is out to change the face of the personal development industry here in the UK. Now, if you want to ask or you want to speak to the guest at any point, you know, you must be in America, because you can dial in on 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. Or you can tweet me, Elliot KPTS, if you have a question. Now, how many of you, before you were 30, knew exactly what you wanted to do, how you wanted to do it, and had a sexy Italian accent to do it in? Not many of us, is the truth. Now, here's the thing about my guest. He has already been on stage with Les Brown. He's been with Gary Vee. He's going to be working with Simon Sinek, John Maxwell. He's even shared the stage with me. This is true. This is true. So he's going to be with us for the next 55 minutes, sharing his insights into how to fill events, how to sell from stage, and not be a douchebag. And that's a quote. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Simone Vincenzi. How are you doing, Simone?
I'm just imagining the round of applause right now. What an introduction, Elliot. Yeah, thank you for having me in your show, Dedicate.
You're very welcome, son. You're very welcome. First of all, thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule for being with us and sharing your insights. And also, I think this is a very special year for you as well, because I think something's happening this year, but I can't quite remember what it is. What's going on for you this year?
Like the wedding in May?
That's it.
The wedding in May. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So how's the preparations going for that?
Preparation is going well. I have to say that thanks God, I'm my fiance. She's a planner, so actually things are moving forward because I'm the kind of person. So I get things done, but I get them done just right before the deadline, and I get them done well, but it's just right done before the deadline. And my fiance is not allowing me to do that.
So let me see. So basically what you're saying is she's doing everything and you're just telling, you're doing what you're told. Is that about right?
Exactly. This is our agreement. She's the brain, I'm the arm. Because at the end of the day, wedding day is for the bride. If it was for me, we were just going on a desert island, me and her, and that's it. Low maintenance wedding, just that, me and her. That's what we need. That's how I am. But she's a bit of a princess, so she wanted a castle, and we got the carriage with the white horses, and so it's going to be like a proper fairy tale wedding, and you're going to be there, Elliot, so you're going to see all that. But to organize all that, I needed her, otherwise that wouldn't have been possible just because of me, so...
Well, you needed her because, you know, you showing up at a wedding on your own might be a little bit awkward. So you definitely you certainly need her to be there. That's for sure. So
otherwise, it would be
this.
Just me, Ben, and the others.
Yeah, which would be like a normal Friday night, and surely you want something else besides that. So let me ask you this. How old are you now, Simone?
I'm very old. I am 28. I'm incredibly old right now.
But you've been in the industry for how long?
Now I've been in the industry for 6 years. So I started when I was 22. I got my first coaching qualification with the Coaching Academy. And I got a qualification, I think, in life coaching and youth coaching because I love working with young people.
So how did you know at the age of 22 that that's what you wanted to do?
That's is a very interesting question. I consider myself very, very lucky because I kind of always knew what I wanted to do. And I'll just give you an example. I had two careers in my life, in my long, long life. I had two careers. One, a very successful career in the catering industry. I started working in restaurants when I was 14. I hated school. I loved restaurants and I wanted to become the best waiter that there was in my region. And I started working literally like 20-hour shifts, just unpaid, just to learn from people that were better than me because I was doing scientific studies at the moment. So nothing related to it. And at the age of 19, fortunately, or not fortunately, I mean, I worked my arse off, but then a bit of luck helped as well. I became the youngest Michelin star restaurant manager in Europe. So that was quite a good success.
Yeah.
And then I've been recruited to work in a Michelin star restaurant in London, in Notting Hill, when we had clients like Woody Allen, Madonna. They were all these kind of people, the Pink Floyd, David Gilmour, they were all there. And after a while, I wanted to change. After it was 8 years, right? 8 years of career in the catering industry. And started 14, 22. And I wanted to change. I wanted to find something different. And in my mind, I wanted to manage a big chain of restaurants. That's what I wanted to do. But I had no clue on how to do it. So I remember going to where every lost soul goes, to our dear friend Google. All right, we go to Google.
To your friend Google, yep. Okay.
Yeah, of course. It's my buddy. It's my mate, Google. Yeah, I call him Googie.
You call him Googie.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize you're so tight with Google. Cool. So you went to Googie.
I went to Googie and I typed how to manage a big chain of restaurants or management courses. And on side of these courses, really started understanding all this world of personal development, where it was very linked in terms of leadership and growth. And I found myself really reading more and more about personal development than about management. I was like, I didn't give a freak about management at that point. And I attended different courses and seminars, reading blogs, videos, reading book over book, watching all the documentaries I could find. And I don't know, something in me said, do this. And I remember I went to the coaching academy, the 2-day that they have on becoming a life coach. And I said, yeah, I want to do what the guys on stage are doing. I didn't have a clue on how to do it, but I said, I want to be that person. And that was the start of my journey.
Okay. So you got qualified as a life coach and a youth coach.
Yes.
And then what? You know, because you worked in a restaurant for a bit longer. And when did you make the transition from, you know, restaurants, working in restaurants to full-time business owner? How long did that take you?
Well, in my mind, a couple of months when I started.
In Earth time?
in real time.
Yeah.
It's fully about 4 years.
As soon as the age of 26, you were a full-time business owner.
Yeah, I was a full-time business, proper full-time, where I could say I didn't have to rely on any other source of work to pay my bills. That was the age 20, and to grow the company, that was age 26.
Okay. So what are some of the business-wise, what do you think were some of the core challenges you had in that transition? Because a lot of us, our listeners might, you know, be going through something similar. I mean, age is irrelevant. I'm just very impressed at how young you are. But what are some of the challenges you found when you were transitioning from employment?
Apart from the unfair advantage of being Italian, which definitely I know, so there's not much I can do about it. It is an unfair advantage. I know that. But apart from that, you know, I think that when you go to coaching courses, obviously they want to sell you the coaching course. So what they say is that, of course, as soon as you're qualified, you can charge 100, 200, 500, 1,000 pounds an hour, and people are going to pay that. Of course, right, Elliot? That's exactly what happened, no?
Yeah, of course. Same happened to me when I got my coaching qualification back in 2008. The moment I finished, people were paying me £1,000 an hour.
Exactly.
Sure.
And they were knocking your door and they were crying and begging you to work with them, right?
How did you know? Gee, it's so true.
You know, as we've been knowing each other for years, so I remember you telling the story. But unfortunately, it wasn't like that for me, Elliot. You were lucky one. So I remember that I finished this qualification, and all that they were told me was how to use the GROW model, and how to do coaching session. I think that, and I really liked the training. I think it was very valid, but there was no business training. And the reality is that there is a difference between being a coach and having a coach in business. Being a coach, you need to know how to coach. Simple, right?
Yeah.
A mentor, you need to know how to mentor. You're a counselor, you need to know how to do counseling. But then running a business, you need to be a business owner.
Correct.
And no one ever told me that. So
you know,
that was the
so
biggest
true,
challenge.
Right? Because a lot of the coaching schools out there teach you how to be a coach, but do not teach you how to run a business. And it's devastating for the industry because a lot of people end up giving up as a result.
True.
So what made you keep going? So no one was knocking down your door, even though you're the Italian stallion. And, you know, what kept you going?
What kept me going? Well, I think I have another unfair advantage. I'm the kind of person that if I want something, I get it. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but I always got what I wanted. Might have taken months, it might have taken years, it might have taken, in this case, like properly to keep going for 4 years without earning a penny. But I think my mom just gave me a lesson when I was a child to, if I wanted something, I had to work for it. And if I work and I'm honest with people and I keep going with integrity, things will come to me. So thank you, Mom. I had that belief in me, and I just kept going. I kept going and kept going, and I say, I just got to find a way to figure it out. And I think that what I realized is that the key part that I was missing that they didn't teach me about, in particular, not how to run a business, but how to run a business in the coaching and speaking industry, because it's a specific business. It's not like running a business in the catering industry where apply some marketing principles, but they are different from industry to industry. So I think that when I realized on things like how to create a signature program, how to create an event, how to sell from an event, how to deliver trainings, that's where I had my biggest breakthrough when I learned those skills.
So okay. Now, in your words, again, you know, selling coaching packages, right, and filling events are very different.
Mm-hmm, true.
So, because what would you say you do more of now? Sell coaching or sell events?
Selling events. Right now, selling events. Because from there, then they will come the coaching.
Ah.
So the coaching
coming.
I still coach people, of course. And I love coaching people. It's still something that I love. And now I transition and coach them in mainly on how to create events that sell without being douchebag. But it's still coaching and mentoring them. And it's an area that I love. I love spending time with people. I realize actually I prefer more coaching, group coaching and facilitation rather than one-to-one. I still have some one-to-one clients and I have my clients one-to-one, but what I love the most is having a group and guiding the group through the breakthrough or to growing their business in this case. And that's now how my time is split. The majority is actually getting people to attend the event, the majority of my time, so that from there I can sell the coaching and get them to see what value I can bring to their life and to their business.
So let's talk about, you talk about douchebags a lot, right?
Yes.
That's on your website. It's in your copy. So
I've got a tattoo on my back as well. No, I'm joking.
You got two douchebags in your bag.
No.
So tell us a little bit about what is it? What's your hang up with douchebags? What do you mean by that? If I didn't know you and you're like, hey, douchebag, what douchebag? You know, what's going on? Explain to the listener what's your thing about douchebags.
I got a thing about douchebags in this industry, Elliot, which are the people that they sell with no integrity. And I think there are a lot of people in this industry, and unfortunately, they are the people that make the most of the money, and because that is what make most of the money, that they sell false hopes, that they sell false dreams, that they just take advantage of people, and they don't actually explain either tell how reality is or is going to be, like, oh, come to my course and of course you will finish it and you will run a 6 or 7 figure business in the next 2 days. And people are like, oh my god, yeah. And then they have no clue about how to create a course. They have no clue about how to create a speech. So I think that a lot of people set unrealistic expectation for people up front. And on the other side is, who am I to say what's realistic or not? We can all go into that debate. But I think that from the experience that I had and working with thousands of people right now, I can see a bit more what are the trends or what's more likely to happen. Let's put it this way. And I think, yeah, a lot of people just sell false hopes and sell false dreams, Elliot. That's the people that I call douchebag, using manipulative techniques just to get people to run at the back of the room and sign that paper. Otherwise, your life is going to be damned.
Okay. So give me an example, not of who, we won't mention names, but what's some of the stuff people can look out for? So, you know, if I didn't know that this was going on and you were saying, look, watch out for these things, what would you warn the listeners to listen out for? What's the douchebag alerts that people need to listen out for?
That's brilliant. That's a great question. I think that there are two things that people can look out for. Number one is how much dream they are selling. Like how good do they make that product or service they are selling sound, if it's a correct English. I think I got a bit tripped over my words here, but
that's okay.
Is it too good? Is it too good to be true? Okay. I think that the question is it too good to be true? Because, of course, you can win the lottery, right? The answer is you can win the lottery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally got a couple of tickets, but I never won the lottery. And there are, I mean, more people, and they're not winning the lottery than the people that are. So I think it's the same thing. If if they sell the course of the training that they are offering in a way that sounds like a winning lottery ticket up front, then I would have an alarm bell there.
But just playing devil's advocate, right? Just playing devil's advocate for a second. But on their courses out there that are that good.
Yeah, of course. There are courses out there that are really good. And, I mean, I can mention your courses. They are incredible. I mean, yeah, that's a lot. And,
but thank you very much.
I know. I'll plug it. I'll plug it. And, of course, I respect what you do. And I think that the courses are really good. But the way you sell the course is making sure that people, and I've seen you done that, making sure that people have the full picture. Because, of course, there are going to be people that are going to have results immediately. I have clients, they join me after 2 days, have results. I have clients that join me, they get the first result after 1 year or two. Now, is that because of the training? Or is that because sometimes, because everyone has their own personal journey? Is that because everyone needs to learn a certain skill set? So for me, for example, becoming a speaker was very easy. I had experience already in talking to tables of 40, 50, 60 people. I had no fear of public speaking. I came up, and after a few years, I became quite a good speaker. And for me, what was difficult is all this marketing stuff. It took me about 6 years to learn, and I got my results sometimes after like 4, 5, 6 years. Now, is that because the courses I took were not good, or because I needed to have to take my time to own that skill in a way that I could make money from it? So I think that the honesty is what's the honesty approach, making the full picture. There are some people, yes, they're going to get results immediately. There are other people that we'll have to put much more work in to get the same result based on where they are. So that's some of the things that I'm looking at there. And so that's number one, Elliot. And then number two, the thing I will look out for is actually do your due diligence. Like when you go to an event, remember, every free event you go to, they are designed to sell you stuff. Right? Because there is nothing like such a free event. I mean, people do a free event because they are going to show you how you can work with them more. That's it. So do your due diligence up front. Maybe call some of the clients they work with if you're interested to go on that event and before buying. That's something I will recommend to everyone. Before, I used to be the one who was buying everything I was sold. Of course, salespeople are trained to make things look good. I'm trained to make things look good and to make things look amazing. I was recording just a few minutes ago a Facebook ad for our next event that we have in February, and I used the rose, and I was making it for a rose, and I was smelling the rose there in the Facebook ad. So I'm trained to do this stuff, and I love doing this stuff. But at the end of the day, do your due diligence. Someone who is full of smelly stuff, or is this just to use a nice word, or is this someone who actually knows what he's talking about? They're walking their talk, and they're there generally to help you not take your money.
Okay, so what you're saying is, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And what you're saying is, you know, do your due diligence and check out the person and then make a decision, right?
Exactly.
But you know, if part of that is, and I want to get onto some strategies in a minute, but part of that, look, a lot of speakers can claim, and they look, I'm a millionaire, and they are a millionaire, and you do the due diligence and they're millionaires, but they got there through crushing other people. So even if you're doing the due diligence, I think the important part is to really make sure that the guy or the girl resonates with you, that they're authentic, they're real, no matter the level they play at. You know, if we look across the world, there's, and of course, equally, there's always going to be people that love you and hate you. You know, and what for me, someone who I feel really shows up in that light, who I'm so excited I'm going to go and see in March, and I truly think is, you know, he's coming to plug the gap. I think Brendan Burchard is a great example of someone that plays massive, who is an incredible speaker, and he's very, like, what you see is what you get. There's nothing worse than being sold false dreams or false promises. Yeah, you'll have access to me, you'll get this, you'll get that, and then the moment you sign up, it's all different. And, you know, I think the industry is plagued with that, actually, with people over-promising and they can't deliver. And it's really sickening, because I'm telling you, you're taking people's dreams and you're crushing them. People are putting their savings, they're investing, it's their last thing, or they go and borrow money, which I do not advocate, to make this happen. And they're led by these people who are really, truly out for themselves. And that really sucks. So watch out for the douchebag alert. I think that should be a thing, by the way. You should have like a douchebag alert app that when certain lines are said, it goes off in your pocket or something, or gives you electrocuted shocks, or I don't know. You know, that could be a good move. So there you go. I've just given you an idea. I only want 10% commission of any sales ever.
That's fine. I'll give you 10.5.
So tell us a little bit. Okay, we've discussed what we don't like. So one of your things is filling events, right? And one of the things you put in the description is how to sell an event, a live event program, before it's ready and make 5 to 6 figures in sales. So how does someone that's listening, one of the listeners, how do they go about that? By the way, if anyone wants to jump on and speak to us as well, you just need to dial 646-716-7979, 646-716-7979. You can tweet me as well on ElliotKPTS if you have any questions. Please do. But so how does someone go about that, Simone, to share?
Yeah, definitely. This is a great strategy I've used myself. I'm teaching my clients that are part of our courses, and it works. It perfectly works. And we can call it the trial strategy. I know I'm not the only one, and I'm not the first one I've used it. I learned this from someone else, which I don't remember the name. Otherwise, I will quote it. But it goes in this way. You start creating and testing a program, your signature program, a program that can help your target audience, once you're clear on your target audience, can help your person going from A to B. That's it. Very simple. And you're putting a post out on Facebook or to your audience or the people that you know that could be potentially interested and say, hey, I am creating this program. Can I have some feedback, please? Now, what you're doing, then you jump in on a call with these people and you're telling what kind of program you intend to create and the work that you're going to put in the program. At the same time, you make sure that those people are jumping on the call are actually potentially a good fit for the program, because that's why you want them, is market research.
Yeah.
And then at the end of your market research, you say, hey, would you like to be part of this program at a discounted price? You will have lifetime access to it, and I will give you this bonus and this bonus just because. So you will help me out to building the program, and I will help you out because you will be my case study that I will use at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very simple. It's very honest. It's very upfront. And forces you to over-deliver. Because the reality is that if you are a person of integrity, then you want to stand partner for those people that believe you before seeing something concrete. And I've done it before, and for me, gave me so much more creative juice and so much more durable program, just because I wanted to wow these people that believed in me. And then second, it would actually forces you to create the freaking program, because I think, Elliot, I mean, you've been working with a lot of coaches and speakers for many years, and you see that there are people that they talk a lot.
And
every year they are creating this freaking program, and then they are the year after they are releasing this half a video series, and the year after they're maybe creating a quarter of an event and so on, right? You know what we are talking about.
Yep.
So if you are that kind of person as well, then because you have sold the program, now you are forced to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly you are there making sure that for you, is also forcing you to deliver. So you get the program done, you create it, you have sold the program before it's ready. And then you make sure that you give so much support to the people that are there that believed in you, that they can actually, then at the end of the program, they will leave you a raving testimonial, and they will recommend other people.
Okay.
And that's how you can make it, and that's how you can make five and six figures before the program is ready. I think that the biggest we have made using this, and I think it was about 70 grand in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. It worked, and people love that. Again, you need to be a person of integrity, because also I've seen other people that do that, and actually they take the money and then disappear.
Mm.
So I've seen that done also in the other way, and people being burned by this method.
Yeah.
And of course, you know who you are, and use it for the good. Simple.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm assuming that anyone I invite on this show is going to do that. Yeah, and of course, look, it's like NLP, right? NLP can be used to change lives or can be used to manipulate people. We know that it all depends on the person using it. You can use money for great things. You can use money for bad things. So just to kind of recap, so what you do is you say to people, I'm going to run a course. I need, let's say, guinea pigs or tests, you know, in exchange for testimonial. You take them through it. And then at the end of it, you sell it on the back of the testimonials, or do you then?
The way you do it is basically you ask people to give you feedback. You want to create this program, and you ask people to jump on a call and just give you feedback on the program.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, I want to. Then when make sure that you, those people are actually the kind of people that the program is designed for. Then at the end of the call, then you say, hey, would you like to be part of this for a discounted price? And then you mention a ridiculous price that I can, depending from the value of the program and how much your involvement is with them. And then from there, then so they pay you for the program, for being part of that discount. And then at the end, they will give you, you deliver great value. Then they will give you a great testimonial and will recommend you someone else. And they will recommend someone else to you. So that's the all, like the full cycle of the strategy, and I'm using it constantly. My clients are using it constantly, and it really works. Give it a go.
Okay. Sounds interesting. And what else? How else? Because, you know, filling rooms on a regular basis is hard work. It's hard work and it's tough. So what would you say are some of the key tips you can give that you're willing to share, of course. We don't want to give away all your trade secrets.
Anything.
Yeah. You know, to filling rooms, what would you say is some of the best strategies people can use besides telling them that, you know, Brad Pitt's going to be there or Megan Fox or you,
and
the
then,
Italian stallion, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you clearly, I know you're a big enough draw yourself, but when people don't know that you're the Italian stallion, what are some of the ways you can fill rooms? Because I mean, you and I see, God knows how many people that want to be speakers, the one-on-one events, that everybody I'm coming across these days wants to be a speaker or run events, which then, of course, saturates the market, which is just the reality of running a business.
Yeah.
But then filling the events is one thing. And you know there's people out there that they do a few events and they get 20, 50, and then they do something stupid like announce they want to do an event with 1,200 people, and then they then go, oh, I'm doing a massive event with 1,200 people. And then still on the day, they have maybe less than half that, and they're still saying there's 1,200 people there.
Yeah.
But also it destroys the market, right? So
true.
What would you say are some of the best ways to fill your rooms?
Well, you know what, Elliot? I'm actually not an expert on filling rooms. On this side is... probably the marketing side in Philly is, you know, we have a marketing team that works on that side. What I can say is that I think that there is another person development industry, and people are focusing on getting these events with hundreds of people. But then what they're not focusing on is suddenly, if great conversion, you don't need to have have hundreds of thousands of people in a room to make a six-figure event or to make a higher five-figure event.
Yep.
Right?
So I agree.
I think that people should follow in the beginning, even without having an event with hundreds of people, thousands of people, they cost. I think people don't realize what's the cost of actually attracting those people to an event. I can give an example. I was talking with the guy that was doing a marketing for Success Resources, and talking about the to get someone on a free to attend a free preview of Tony Robbins, just to attend a free preview. So it's not the sale. It costs about £50 per person spent in adverts, in advertisement.
Mm.
£50 per person. And I'm talking about Tony Robbins. I'm not talking about even like the Italian stallion, okay? you know, I have an unfair advantage, so I can... No, I'm joking. But, you know, for Tony Robbins. So imagine that you are someone that is not known at all and you're starting out. Do you, first of all, do you have that kind of budget, thousands of pounds up front, to create those kind of events? That's number one.
Most people don't. Yeah, most people don't. To be honest.
And second, do you know that your event actually is going to convert? And do you know how much is going to convert and how much you're going to make even before the event is started? If the answer to this question is no, my recommendation is just to focus on master your conversion. Because you can run an event with 10 people. But if out of those 10 people, 8 buy, you actually don't need to have an event when where you have 80 people and 8 buy, where you have a 10% conversion, which is the average of the industry. And suddenly, instead of spending marketing for getting 80 people into a room, you spend marketing to get 10 people into a room. And also a room for 10 people will cost much less than a room for 80 people and the AV equipment and so on. So I think my recommendations for people is before going on Facebook ads and creating partnership and so on, become good at selling your product or service. Master your conversion, because then you, first of all, you will have the money to invest in getting bigger rooms and getting larger events. And secondly, you will not even need big events. And I remember having this chat with you recently, where you reduced the size of your rooms as well, from Power to Succeed to the events that you're running now.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's true. And I think we've all been guilty. I know when I was first coming out in the industry, not coming out as anyway, when I was coming out into the seminar industry, and, you know, at the time as a coach, I know I wanted to do massive rooms and it's about the numbers. Look, when I was running Power to Succeed here in the UK, because we have a global audience, you know, I was spending, to run Power to Succeed would cost me £6,000 to put it on. And I was doing the free model, as you know, I was doing 2 days free and then an upsell. So £6,000 for people in America is about $50,000 with conversion. That's a joke. You know, I'm only kidding. You know, but it's a lot of money. And that was including the marketing, that was including the venue, the AV, feeding the team that I have, because I'd had a big team. And, you know, when we changed direction last year, it was the year before. And you're right, when we strategically decided to go for better targeted rooms, smaller numbers, my conversions went up and my new business grew quicker than I'd ever grown with the other business. And I think that's a key thing that I'd love listeners to take away, is get absolutely clear on who your ideal customer is in the room. Because when you have your ideal customer in the room, first of all, you don't need to sell. They'll want to buy, as long as you're not a douchebag, as Simone would say. But the sales process is a lot easier. Because it's not, I don't know if you remember, but when I used to do Power to Succeed, that was a hard sell because I was selling to such a big room with such a variety of people, right?
True.
And I didn't have the Italian stallion thing going for me, and I certainly wasn't Tony Robbins. But I made a business. It was a six-figure turnover business. I did have a hat at the time, but clearly it's not as powerful as being 6'7" or Italian. But, you know, and that was hard. I mean, the pressure was on And actually, it's because we had such a bad event. Not bad event. It was the worst event we've ever had. I just did the maths and I went, well, if I had one more event like this, that's going to kill my business. Something needs to change. Mm-hmm. Have you had kind of any of those moments in your business when you're like, oh my God, if we don't change, we're going down? Have you ever had something like that?
I didn't have, if we don't change, we are going down. No, I never had one, but I had many. If we don't sell, we're going down. So I think that as a business model, we were lucky enough to get it right within the first 2 years. So we never had a struggle in the model. What we were struggling is that we weren't actually converting that many people. And so not converting that many people, even if we had a good model, then it didn't make any money. So I think what we changed then, now that you make me think, it was definitely being much clearer about the target audience.
Uh-huh.
And then focusing more on the product. Because I think that if you have a great product, people want to buy it. And as you said, there is less hard sell. I don't hard sell because we put so much. I know that I'm studying the industry. I'm looking at what are the things that really people want that no one is giving away. And I give them away sometimes for free.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that creates such a level of rapport with the audience that they respect me. They see that I'm there from there. And then there is such this massive value that they're getting. And I'm not saying like a one-to-one every 6 months and then you might call me and see me from distance or like all this kind of stuff that a lot of people do. But it's just like being there for them and making sure that people have everything they need to grow their businesses. And that's what we are focusing on and serving the community. And that made a big shift, made a huge shift in our business.
So how big is your community now?
Well, now we have in the total of the clients that we have are about 190. Not all of them are paying. Some of them finish paying, and some of them are on different plans and different packages. That's how big is the community right now? And at the beginning, it was growing off to like we had maybe like 4 or 5 people a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have about an average of 10 new people a week that are joining our courses. So it's always growing. We've been doubling year after year, and we are really excited about the future. And in particular, we work with people that we love to work with. So it's exciting working with them.
So it's not just you. You have a business partner, right?
Yeah, the one and the only, Ben Shorter.
So let me ask you this. Is he ever going to take that Superman t-shirt off?
No. Now he got the shoes as well, man.
He's got the shoes as well.
It's getting worse. Next up is the hat.
I think he needs to go to a seminar of personal development and transformation. Is there anywhere you can recommend by any chance?
Well, you stopped running Power to Succeed. When it was working with you, at least he had his ass straight.
I know, right? Maybe I'll bring it back just for him.
Exactly.
So, what's been your most successful? What's been that day when you go, "Oh my God, that was amazing"? What's been one of your biggest successes? Do you feel?
When we've been called to manage the event for Gary Vaynerchuk, that was, I think, right now at the moment. One of the biggest highlights of my career. There is one which is coming soon, which I'm going to be featured in Forbes next week. So that's pretty cool, and that's the recent one. But when I was when I've been called to manage Gary Vaynerchuk's event, I was like, oh my God, we are talking about Gary V. And again, it's all about connection, and it's all about circumstances and sometimes luck that comes in. But having people saying, can you manage this event of 500 people because we are in the bleep right now and we need someone that have event experience. So having someone that trusted me so much to give me their own event that could make or break their career that year, then it really made me realize how far I've come and how worth it was speaking in more than 500 events in 3 years in learning actually the trade, not only of being a great speaker, but also how to run incredible events. That was the top for the moment.
And what was it like meeting Gary Vee?
It was quick. It was brief. We were backstage, but it was very, very brief because he came in, he spoke, he went out, and it was a queue, a long queue of people that want to talk to him. But there is something that he has. The moment where he's talking to you, he's focused on you. And that's what I appreciated because I've been, for example, close to, and this is something also that I found when I met Les Brown. When he's talking to you, he's talking to you. They make you feel that no matter there are another 100,000 people there at the back that they want to talk to him, then he is there for you to answer either your question or just to give you a smile. And then, of course, up next. But think what gave me is just the possibility is showing that also the speaking industry can be also straightforward. Because Gary Vee is someone who just tells most of the time how reality is and what the things that other speakers don't tell because they want to sugarcoat. Maybe the reality of being an entrepreneur, and that's how why I respect Gary Vee, and it was an incredible experience that motivates me to now meet even greater influencers like him.
So who would you consider are the other great influences in the industry?
Well, definitely one is Simon Sinek, and that I really admire. We are having a conversation with him to have him down for an event this year. Still not confirmed yet. We are going to see. I really hope that's going to happen because I think Simon Sinek is another person who is honest and really knows his stuff, in particular about marketing in this case. And I will recommend to everyone his book, Start With Why, or watching his TEDx talk if you haven't done it yet. Watching the TEDx talk, Start With Why. So that will be one influencer that I respect. And the other one is actually Brendon Burchard. This is another person I want to meet, and I know you're going to meet him soon as well.
Well, I hope I'll get face-to-face time with him. Actually, Michael, the producer of the show, it's through him. So all being well, we'll get some one-on-one time with him. But just to attend his events, exciting enough. But love to get some foray with good old Brendon and see what he's got, if he can play with the best, you know? But it'd be phenomenal. it'd be phenomenal, I think. Because, you know, he's an incredible storyteller. And B, you know, the guy knows his mustard. He really knows his stuff. Not in a, you know, in a cheesy marketing way. He understands the science behind things as well, which I think gives him extra kudos. And everyone I know that's met him only speaks highly of him. So in March, I'm very excited to be able to go see good old Brendon. Well, he's not old, actually. He's a year younger than me. But, you know, I mean old in a term of endearment, not age-wise. I think, he'd be – I'm very excited about meeting him. And, I mean, there was a time – here's the interesting thing. You probably don't know this. A few years ago, back in probably 2010, we were negotiating with Gary Vee to bring him to the UK after he released Crush It. Yep. Not people – you know, it didn't happen. No excuses. We were talking. We got a fee. We actually reduced his fee, you know, with my negotiation hat on. He was all ready to come. And the guys I were working with just pulled the plug. Like, no, we're not going to do it. We're not interested. It would have cost best part of $100,000 to bring him over and put the event on and everything. But we couldn't quite find the people that wanted to take that risk. Maybe I'm just a few. Sometimes, you see, I think sometimes I'm ahead of my time. and sometimes I'm behind the times. Because I've known Gary, I don't know him, but, you know, for when he released Crush It, that's when I heard about him, which is a great book by him. So, and I liked his personality, and I was following him then, and he wasn't as big in the UK.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know why I'm telling that story. It has absolutely no kudos or credibility. But I just want to say that I was there first in spirit, all right? And then people came along and stole the mojo from me and actually made it happen. I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous at all.
So, no.
So who would you say has been your biggest influence? Who's influenced you the most? Besides your mom.
Okay, now I need to find another answer. Who's influenced me the most? It's a really good question, and every time someone asks me this question, I give a different answer. I give a different answer depending from who is influencing me right now. I have to say, actually, I can tell you who is influencing me right now, because that's who is influencing me the most right now. Is actually Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm reading. Listening to his books. I'm listening to, Ask Gary Vee show. The latest book. And I hate reading, so I love listening to audiobooks. And this is definitely something which is my eyes and changing idea on what a business should be. Gary Vee is very big in talking about you're not running a business, you're running a media agency. And I think just that shift in mindset, and it's something which is not automatic yet, so I'm still working on it, on making it more, and see how can I release more and more content in different formats with GTEx. Then that's what's influencing me right now and is influencing me big time. That's what I can say. Good old Gary.
Yeah, good old Barry. You know, he's a clever guy. I mean, he turns over 100 million a year or something, so he must be doing something right. And ultimately, did you know, ultimately, I don't know if it's still the case, his dream is to own the Jets.
I know, the New York Jets.
That's why he does what he does, eh? Interesting. And someone that's no longer with us that you'd like to meet, who would that be?
Someone who is no longer with us
a historic figure to meet.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Julio Cesar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not Julio Iglesias, right?
Julio Iglesias. is he no longer with us, Julio Iglesias?
Exactly.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he is. I could be wrong, but I think he's
Enrique is alive.
Enrique Iglesias. I'm pretty sure his father's.
Only dynamos. Okay, right. So this is a bit of advertisement break. Now, Julio Cesar. I grew up studying the Roman Empire. That's what we study in Italy. It makes sense. Yeah, we studied the Roman Empire and. I think that someone that understood people so much to be able to conquer something, what Julio Cesar did, there was no one else in history. In particular, because Julio realizes that in order to make a great empire, he needed to make people happy. You know, to have a great Roman Empire, he needed to make the populus, which means what's the English name? People needed to make them happy, because they are the one that if they were happy, they were going to work, they were going to produce, and their life would be better, and they would be happy and proud to be part of the Roman Empire. And
by the way, he's still alive.
Julio
Iglesias, not Cesar.
Julio Iglesias is still alive. Oh, God bless Julio.
You were wondering. Just as well, eh? Yes. Carry on. Sorry.
So he realizes that he needs to make people happy. And I think that it's been a massive breakthrough, and that's why also he has been killed, because they were the people, the aristocrats, that they wanted all the privileges
for themselves.
And yeah, exactly. So I think that would be a great person that I would like to meet and ask him a couple of questions. But again, how do you manage an empire? That's the largest one in the history at that time.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Okay, awesome. So
and they were at wasn't internet.
Say again?
And there.
you broke up a little there. Could you repeat that, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. What were you saying?
I said, and internet wasn't there.
Right. So he did it old school way by drugging the empire to be happy. I'm only joking. So we've got just about 4 minutes left. First of all, how do people get in touch with you or hear more about you or reach out to you? What do people need to do?
Well, thank you for the question, Elliot. Really appreciate it. There are two ways where people can get in touch with me. Number one is to get on my website, where we have, which is www.gtex.org.uk. And we release fresh content almost daily, once every 2 days generally. And we have a podcast called Explode Your Coaching Business, which you can listen to, and also videos and blogs that you can read. And the other way you can get in touch with me, if you like Facebook groups, but not this kind of Facebook groups that are all spammy and so on, but this kind of Facebook group where there is a real engagement and people love to be there and they can give help and receive help, then you can join our Facebook group, which is Explode Your Coaching Biz. You can find that on Facebook.
B-I-Z, right?
Pardon?
And Biz is B-I-Z, as in...
B-I-Z, yeah, because we are cool. Just because we
cool.
Can say business, because you're cool, right? We just have
biz. You know the word biz was cool about 10 years ago. You know that, right?
Really? Do you see...
It's not cool, yeah. I'm just saying...
Are you saying I'm old?
Clearly, I'm saying you're a bit out of date. Because if I know that that's old terminology, God help you, my friend.
So tell me what's working right now.
I'll leave that to your marketing team to do the market research.
Damn it.
And find out. But I tell you what's working right now is strategy breakthrough. That's what's working right now.
Definitely.
So I want to say thank you very much for coming and sharing your wisdom and your story with us. If you want to connect with me, you can connect with me on Twitter, which is Elliot KPTS, or you can join our brand new Facebook group, which is called the Strategy Room, where we are going to, it's a closed group, you must ask to join, but where we just share strategic advice, support. It's for innovators, thought leaders, coaches, speakers, trainers, authors, whatever you want to do, who want to come from a place of service. And that's our new group, literally just launched over the weekend. So you can join us at the Strategy Room on Facebook, and that will grow slowly and slowly. Simone, if you ask really nicely, I might even add you into it. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll approve your application.
Can I please be allowed in?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. I'll tell you what. If this show gets 1,000 downloads, I'll let you in. How's that?
Okay. I'm happy with that.
Sounds like a plan. It is a plan. I'll be back in 2 weeks with a lady who's going to be talking about building a brand. Such an important part. How to strategically build a brand. There's lots of people out there who talk about it, who give you the 6 steps. She's going to give you the strategies to actually implementing. I am here every 2 weeks to share with you amazing guests like Simone. Thank you very much for coming. And to share strategic advice and support for you, the innovator, the thought leader, the coach. Till then, stay hungry, stay focused, stay strategic. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Take care. And goodbye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Thank you, big man. Thank you for
So I was actually, I didn't know if I had to stay in or just leave or not.
But I saw you're still on. So thank you so much, my friend. I will speak to you soon, even sooner. And we'll have a chat. Yep.
Indeed. Thank you very much for having
me. Well,
this
week we're supposed
to
agree on the name, aren't we? So let's get that sorted. But I'll speak to you soon. Thanks again.
Yep. All right. See you,
I'll
buddy.
Even let you into the group.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Appreciate it
so
much.
Take care, my man. Big love.
See you, buddy. See you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Michael, can you hear me? Hey, Michael, you all right? You good? Good. Oh, man. Oh, no. Damn it. I think I'll have him anyway. Damn it, I didn't realize I was having that many downloads. That's good. Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get some really big names this year. I want to see whether you're Charlotte Lecter. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome to get through to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he really doesn't enjoy it. He really doesn't enjoy it. And like he's okay being interviewed, but he'll only do it if he really has to. So, I mean, he doesn't mind walking in front of cameras, he just doesn't like speaking in front of them. So that'd be amazing. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. So, fingers crossed. Yeah. So it's called the Strategy Room. So, I'll add you to that if you want. We've got Trish and Kylie are in it. I don't want to do, yeah, so I'm going to ask people. I don't want to, you know, do the whole just adding people. Cool. And then he's good. Good guy. Yeah, so he uses that a lot, through the whole douchebag thing. And then let's, you and I have another chat. I've just got Ariella in my hand. But let's chat at some point about what we can do in San Diego and stuff. Or... Oh, yeah. Not that you have enough, right? really cool. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, yeah. You know, I tested that process this weekend. I tested that. Yeah, yeah, it worked amazingly. So, yeah, I know the process now. Yeah.
What you sold is happiness, you know. That everything led into happiness for him. You know, creating a happy, clean environment for families, you know. In his opening speech at Disneyland, it was welcome to this happy place. And when you walk down Main Street USA, it's called the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
They sell happiness. So what as coaches do we sell? It's not necessarily health coaching. Or it's not necessarily weight loss. What is it that they sell? And then once you have that, you take them into the brainstorming process for a client, or for, you know, whether it's a retreat or, you know, a group coaching program or whatever, you take them into that four-step brainstorming process based on what they now know that they sell, and then you turn it into what Disney would call an experience. Apple is good at this. They don't just sell an iPhone. They sell the experience behind the iPhone.
Mm.
What it can do for you. You know, we often talk about when we're talking to our individual clients that, you know, don't talk about the features, talk about the benefits. You know, talk about, you know, what it's going to do for you. Well, Disney called that an experience. So creating an experience type of product that's memorable, that's going to give you everything that you need. What's the experience? For example, in our case, you and I are going to be giving them quite an experience when they come here. It's going to be high end. They get to go to Disneyland. We're, you know, at the beach. We're doing this four-end brainstorming process. We'll probably have a chef or, you know, catered dinner. It's going to be truly time experience. It's going to be more than just a typical workshop where they might give you, you know, water and coffee. This is going to be something, at least the way I'm envisioning it, this is going to be something that creates a truly transformational experience that will allow them to really get a feel for what Walt Disney was all about, how he operated, and then our job is to take it into, okay, here's what you can learn from it, and here's how you can create your own contagiously successful business. We give them those actionable steps. When they walk away from there, they're going to remember our event.
Mm.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Because we created an experience rather than just an event. You understand what I'm trying to say there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So that's what, so let me get this, thing launched. I'm going to do a video on it or two this week. The weather will improve down here. You want to move to San Diego? Well, this was not the month to do it. It was raining and cold.
Just like London.
Just like London, exactly. But, you know, ordinarily the weather is awesome here. So you definitely, if Emily's father's in LA, you don't want to live there. You want to live here. Trust me.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. wonderful area that's there.
Yeah, you still got to do that. So, yeah, that'll be awesome.
Why did you stop so we'll do all that. But, yeah, let's get together later this week. I'll add you to that group, and then I've only got, like, one post in there now because it hasn't really launched. But I'll add you to that group, and then as I add things and start to announce when I'm going to do that three-day challenge, so maybe you can come in and, you know, and do a section of that three-day challenge, too, that we put together, and then you and I will talk about what that second step is. Because that's what I'm most unclear on right now, is
okay.
What we lead them to in that second step prior to the big time retreat. The retreat I've pretty much got down, and I know how it will work with you and I, but that second step is bugging me because you can't give them too much of the challenge, but then you've got to give them enough to get them into that second step prior to leading to the high end retreat that we want to do.
Okay.
So let's talk about that in a day or two when they get this launched. Fire under control almost for the week so I can focus on this, and then maybe tomorrow or Wednesday we'll talk about it some more. Is that good?
Yeah, that's perfect. Give me a shout, and then
Great. Thank you, Elliot. How's the baby doing?
She's amazing. She's falling asleep on my shoulder, which is why I want to put her down.
Oh, nice. How
cute,
Elliot. She's
amazing.
Right, cool. Have a good evening, and I will talk to you
next Thursday. Look forward to it. Take care, Michael.
Right. Thanks,
bye.
Nina the Bob.
Because my charger isn't
fine in my bed anymore. What happened to the
I told you I've taken it. Really, Katie, really listen to your husband.
I always listen to my husband. Where's... Oh, who put tea on the floor?
There you go.
I've just spilled. Can you just bring the kitchen roll? It's only mint tea. Well, it looks like mint tea.
She should be grateful.
But sometimes it's very hard to be grateful when all you're seeing is how much pain you're in.
I'm sure she is, but she's also in pain and quite emotional.
Yeah, she's quite a drama.
It's very scary that she's going to die.
Yeah. Good number must be here. Yeah. But the whole, I mean, she won't, she'll feel. She's not in a, she's in a pain now, she's making a shock or something like that. And then there's the whole, why was I so stupid? If only I wanted to throw up.
Yeah.
How would you feel like that? Sarah's not going to help. She'll feel neurotic and that feeling.
Either a cost or an operation. Is that what you want?
Yeah, it's either like, yeah, an operation or a brace that gets specially made from some place in America, and then take for 3 months.
Gonna work from now.
Craig?
What?
What did you say?
Hmm?
What about working on what?
I'm gonna work, Nika. What is going on? You're right.
Monday?
Nylon.
No?
You said Monday, I said they're Nylon. Not Monday, Nylon.
I don't know what Nylon means.
Nylon.
Nylon.
Sh.
shoes. He said, what is it? I'm saying, it's shoes. The one I made so soon came up better.
Luckily, I rested it without
pulling
on the
room.
It was
cool. What? You mean the back? As in it was melting?
No, it was falling down the back of the rack.
How?
Because it was right at the back of the oven.
Oh, no.
Someone had clearly pulled the rack out and then it had fallen down.
I did not touch the rack.
Oh.
I picked it up from the tray. I didn't pick up the rack. So she told me.
Because she falls into a bit more of a pattern than I'm doing more in the day. You know, if I always know she's having an afternoon nap, and you cook, that's fine.
Mm.
I want to make more smoothies. That's why I need to stick the veg tomorrow.
Can you cook?
Yeah. Maybe we wish we had like a big bowl and just chuck it all in. So small, isn't it?
No. Are you going to
get another bath?
Yes, that one.
Hey,
drop
what? Me
and I've had to drop me a Jill
for
a drive out of
the
for a run tomorrow. Come home. Not home. Yeah, when she's not hungry or tired, she's a fat baby. She's a fat baby when she's hungry and tired.
People used to watch and empty a pin to start watching straight away. My stuff in More TV has all the on-demand shows and films you can watch from the TV booth you subscribe to. Plus your library of films and box sets you own or are currently renting. And don't worry, we'll always
you
have a
way.
Payment pin to complete the purchase.
You can watch your Downton Abbey or whatever.
The UView button always brings up the main menu. Select the guide and you see every channel. Free to air ones first, then you subscribe channels from 301 up. Catching up on shows you've missed is also easy from the guide. Scroll back up to 7 days and watch any show with this symbol you've missed. If you have a TV Tough Box, you can select an upcoming show in the guide to record a single episode or a series. In More TV, you'll find TV Boots.
Gentlemen, I am one step away from securing a huge guest for my convention. Does that step include chloroform and a roll of duct tape? I don't think that will be necessary for Mr. James Earl Jones. You heard me. The voice of Darth Vader, the Lion King's dad, and FYI, the guy who says this is CNN. Which also sounds like Darth Vader. Simple. Earlier today, he tweeted that he's looking forward to going to his favorite sushi restaurant for dinner. I googled an interview from 4 years ago, which was conducted in his favorite sushi restaurant. That's where he'll be, and that's where I'm going, and that's where Darth Vader's going to pour soy sauce on this. I don't care if you get scalp tickets with us or not, but please don't be sleazy and go talking with poor guy. You're going to get in trouble. You're the ones who are going to get in trouble. You're buying non-transferable tickets, and from a stranger, no less. Not only can you get banned from Comic-Con, if caught, you're going to be charged with petty theft. You think about that while I'm warning James Earl Jones about the danger of posting his location on Twitter. He got lucky this time. There are some weirdos out there. Bum, 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 bum.
Our friendly neighborhood scalper has been turning late. Does he sound like a criminal?
Comic-Con. Pretty much the game.